Her question this evening. Given impermanence, unreliability, and not self, what do we trust? This is a really deep question, an important question for us. It speaks a lot to our ordinary way of thinking things are trustable. We think things are trustable when we can take a stand on them. And the way the teachings point us is counter to our usual perspectives. It actually is said that the night of his awakening, the Buddha, after he had this deep realization around non-clinging, leading to peace, freedom from suffering, he said he thought about teaching and thought, wow, you know, what has been understood here is so subtle and so hard to see, it's going to be hard to teach it to people. Because it does, it runs so counter to our usual intuitions about how happiness is found, what things are trustable. When Greg was talking this evening around the unshakability of mind that comes with equanimity and with freedom, that unshakability of mind, even that image for me, as I was reflecting on that image, the way the unshakability felt to me was not like something solid, but more like something slippery. Unshakability is unshakable because it is not landing on anything. I guess I would say that this trust that we move to and trust in the teachings is explored in terms of trust of what leads us towards freedom from suffering. It's not trust in where can I land, it's what leads towards freedom from suffering. That trust is not about being anywhere or being anyone or having anything, but is more related to the trust that whatever is happening in this moment can be met, can be known. Even as it is changing, as it is slipping through. There's a deep trust that we open to in not knowing what the next moment will be. It's not a trust in something that we're not trusting that the next moment will be a certain way or other. But we are, there's a way that we learn to trust. This moment can be known, and the non-clinging in this moment leads to freedom. In this moment, we're trusting freedom. We're not trusting a particular outcome. We're trusting non-clinging. There's an image that sometimes comes to me, came to me first in my practice, where I was really touching into this truth of impermanence and unreliability. And there was a lot of fear. It's very natural in a way for deeply meeting the truth of impermanence that it can create some fear. It's like, well, what is there to land on? Where do I land? And I was exploring this in my practice, and it was like, I recognized at some point the idea of the unknown was what I was afraid of. And that in every single moment, as I did this walking meditation, it's like, okay, I'm going to face this fear of the unknown. And every single moment was known. There was nothing that wasn't able to be known in the moment. And that moment fell apart. And the next moment, everything was known. And this image came to me in that moment of standing on the edge of a cliff. It was like I was being asked to step into the abyss with each moment. I had no idea. It was a deep sense of having no idea of what the next moment would be. It was a little bit frightening. And yet as I took the step into the abyss, in the next moment, there I was, standing on the edge of the abyss. Each moment, step, and everything is known. So it's the trust is I guess I'd say that the trust is in aligning ourselves with this nature of impermanent, unreliable not self. As we align ourselves with that truth, that nature, the heart releases and doesn't suffer. It's not an ordinary kind of trust. So it's a kind of a twist, or it's a reorientation, a perspective of the mind. Hope I left you some. What do you want to say?
I mean, as Andrea said, this goes to the very heart of things, the heart of what we're doing here. And one way I think of this is, it has to do with this sense of taking refuge, where we go to for refuge, where we look for safety, given that things are changing, not reliable, not controllable, then then where can we find a place to stand, as Andrea was saying. And you could say we trust, you know, in terms of, say, the triple gem, this idea of refuge, well then we're trusting the ability to be awake, to be aware. That's Buddha. That's possible, doesn't matter what's happening. Doesn't matter that it's changing. Doesn't have to be any way to be awake. So we can be aware, as Andrea was saying, we can be aware of anything. We can know it's like this. We can trust the truth of the way it is. That's Dhamma. We can trust through this knowing, waking up to the truth of the way it is. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's falling away, or if it's changing, or if it's uncontrollable. It's the way it is. And we can trust our potential to be awake. We can trust that this is always possible for us. We might not always be awake, but we always can be. That possibility is always there. So that's sort of the third. The Sangha is our possibility, our human capacity. So in a sense, it comes down to more simply a trust in this capacity of the aware mind itself. These other things are found within that, you could say. We can trust that. Because that's always possible, and it's not, those things are not shaken by the impermanent, unreliable. They're not assailable. They're not touched. That doesn't touch them, doesn't move them. Because they're it doesn't matter. So then it's the same thing she was saying. It's that coming into alignment with the truth of things. It seems like a problem, but it's the greatest possible relief. It seems like these things seem like problems if we're in contention with them, right? It's like it's because we're struggling, we're in contention with the way it is that we suffer. When we stop struggling with the way it is, suffering falls away. We don't have to get rid of anything.